And so it begins. Welcome to the debut of Talking Trash here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Mike Cardano. I'm either a genius or a moron for creating this show. And as we matriculate the ball down the field, I'm sure you're going to let me know. Now with me are three accomplished early risers in their own right. The fantasy shamer, Tony Cincotta. The apologist from the Great White North, Chris Meaney. And Greg Sussman, who I think needs a nickname. We're going to work on that, Greg. Greg, you got a nickname from childhood or something? Or?
No, we pretty much just go with Mr. Sussman or Greggy. That's kind of what it is around here.
All right, we'll go with Greggy for now. And producing the show is the incomparable Chris Bivona. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, good morning. It is a fantastic morning as spring is still not here yet.
Yeah, well, we're getting there. Tony, what's going on?
I'm just up on a Monday morning and thankful that I'm still breathing.
You're thankful that you're up?
Yeah, yeah. You know, you got to start small, work your way up.
Chris, what about you? What's the good word?
Also thankful that I'm up. Going to be honest with you guys, haven't really slept. So I was excited, talking trash. I'm fired up, ready to go. So I've been up all night.
All right, well, let me tell the listeners how this is going to work. We're going to take out the morning trash every morning and let you know how we feel about things, good, bad, or indifferent. We're going to talk about the sports and pop culture news of the day, the things that folks are going to be talking about at water coolers at work. And if we draw a reaction from you, you're going to love us or you're going to hate us. Either way, I've accomplished my goal. Now, no doubt, some of you are going to have your favorite personalities, and they're going to be those who despise some of us for our views. But suck it up if you don't like it. We're all adults here, except for those of you who aren't. So if you have a beef, you can hit us up on Twitter over at FNTSY Radio, or you can tweet one of the hosts. Don't tweet me. I'm not going to get back to you. You can tweet them directly, and now your grievance is there. It'll probably fall on deaf ears. They probably won't get back to you either, but you can go ahead and give it a shot. So let's get right into this, gentlemen. The Final Four yesterday, I tell you what, for me, I couldn't have been happier watching that serial tripper, Grayson Allen, have that shot rim out of the end of regulation there and go home. Anybody else?
Can I interrupt for 1 second, Mike? You mentioned that the show was about what people are talking about, water coolers. Does that still – do water coolers
still exist? No, at the water cooler. They're not going to talk about water coolers.
Yeah. Does water coolers still exist in offices?
Yeah, well, we're at a studio. It's a little different.
Well, we have
water coolers?
Yeah. I'd say yeah.
Definitely. Okay. All right.
Greg, we have one here.
We do?
Yeah. Yeah, go down the hallway, make a left, and it's cooler.
You can't drink the tap water.
Okay.
Well, Greg, you worked at an accounting firm, didn't you? Didn't they have a water cooler?
No, there was no water cooler. We had a kitchen. We had some coffee. There was no water cooler. So I just thought the water cooler was, it was dead. It was old. Now everyone's drinking organic. There's water bottles. I didn't know that the water cooler still existed, Mike.
Tony, you were in the banking system. Did they have water coolers there?
Yeah, and they always had two different buttons. Like, one was a blue and one was a dark blue. And I was there like 20 years and never could figure out what the difference meant because it tasted the same no matter what. But it was supposed to be something different, but I don't know what the hell the difference was.
It wasn't supposed to be a little cooler, I think. And it's all lies, Tony. It's just to slip you up, especially this early in the morning. Let's be honest. You're not hitting the dark blue, the light blue. You're just hitting whatever one is closest to your thumb.
Greg, let's go with you first here. What are your observations here? So we've got number 11 seed Loyola against Michigan and a 1 in Villanova against Kansas. What is Kansas, a 3? Michigan is a 3? Oh, I'm sorry. Kansas is a 1. So 2 ones, an 11, and a 3. Is this the first time there's an 11 in the mix?
No, this is the fourth time, I believe, that there's 11 in the mix. It's happened a bunch. VCU, I believe, was the last 11 to get in. And it's funny because I read a really great take on this last night. And ultimately, you know, you want there to be upsets. And we all love the Cinderellas and exciting. But when you get down to the Elite Eight, like, you want really good basketball. And you want the superstars in it. You're much more likely to watch Duke versus Kansas play rather than Loyola and Kansas State play in the Elite Eight. Last night's game between Duke and Kansas was arguably the best game in the tournament and had the biggest names, it had the biggest coaches, the biggest superstars, the guys that we're going to see at the next level in the NBA, and it lived up to the hype. It was awesome.
I agree. It was awesome. In fact, I think, Greg, it was the best game of the tournament. I went to overtime, and I'm with you, Mike. When I was seeing Allen with that shot, and it looked like it was going in, and it just rolled off the rim, and then he missed a bunch of shots, in overtime, a couple open threes. So I thought that was a very entertaining game, and we're set up to get another one with Kansas and Villanova. That's going to be a phenomenal game as well.
I just wanted to see the kid fail. That was me. Tony, what were your thoughts?
Now, I'm actually in his corner because I didn't realize this, that he's actually from Jacksonville, Florida. So I started rooting for him in this tournament. Like, nobody admits from out here. Like, it's not big publicized that he's actually from Jacksonville, Florida. But I actually have that bracket in my bracket. I had Kansas playing in this game against Villanova, but I didn't hit anything on the other side. But I'm doing pretty good. And my bra was just looking at the standings, so I'm doing all right.
It's same. I'm on the right side. I'm all green. On the left side, it's been red for since opening day, basically. So hey, a lot of.
Bavone, did you have limited. A dog in the fight here or no?
No, the only dog I had was the one I was walking that I would walk and go by the bars and try and watch as much as the NCAA tournament that I did. If I'm going to root for anybody, though, of course I'm going to root for Loyola Chicago because I don't care about Villanova. Great, they won a few years ago. Great, Michigan's back in it, the Fab Five, blah, 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 blah. I want to see this little team that came really out of nowhere win. That's what I really want to see more than anything.
So I think what everyone says they want. Everyone says they want Loyola Chicago to win, and I do. But I guarantee you that the ratings yesterday were much better for Duke Kansas than they were for Loyola playing Michigan playing Saturday night. I guarantee you.
Well, that's true because people like to root for the underdog, but you always want to see the big bad gorilla. But I tell you what, as much as I want Loyola to win. Because, you know, listen, I had Virginia, so I'm out. So after that, I just want everybody to lose. I'm miserable. But I don't know about you guys, but is anybody else sick of Sister Jean? Or is it just me?
No. Oh, it's just you. I love
her. She's fantastic. Yeah. I love her. She's just
Mike,
amazing.
You got a lot of problems in your life. And I mentioned this to someone on Facebook who had a similar comment. Like, your life is so effed up that the only thing you have to complain about is Sister Jean. That's a pretty good life, yet you don't realize it, and the rest of us do, Mike. Maybe it's time for therapy.
Well, I heard you on with Gabe. He was claiming that she was a crisis actor.
Yeah, he did. He claimed she was a crisis actor. I listened to Brady Quinn last night on Fox Sports talk about there's going to be a story that's going to come out if they win about how she made some adult movies or something. Like, everybody's got these crazy stories. She's just a nun that loves her boys and loves basketball. Why can't you just fall in love with the story? The guys that don't like her are the same guys that don't like Tim Tebow.
Oh, with the power. Let's not get started on Tebow.
See him in a Mets uniform.
With the apparel and this, and with Tebow, I'm telling you, if he gets called up on merit, I'm good. But if he gets called up after like saving a choking kid in the stands or something like that, I'm going to lose it.
But hasn't he been doing well, right? Tebow has been doing okay.
No. I think he's got two hits.
Well, he's got to be a decent
outfielder. For the Mets, two hits is perfect.
September.
That's batting 1,000.
So, Greg, does anybody – so let's go over the odds here. So, the Westgate odds this morning, Villanova's even. Michigan is 5-2. Kansas, 3-1. And the Loyola Chicago – what are they, the Ramblers? The Ramblers? Yeah, 12-1. Does anybody think that Loyola has a shot?
Well, I think it's crazy to say they don't have a shot. You're in the final four, right? So you're one of four teams. You've obviously made it through. I picked Villanova to win. I still believe they're the best team in the country. I think they actually match up better against Kansas than they did Duke, so I think that's good for them. And Michigan is going to be the best coach team, I can assure you, that Loyola Chicago has seen with Sean Beilein, whose team, as I've always said, gets better every year as the season goes on. So I think that's why Michigan's probably second, because they have the best chance of getting there, while Villanova and Kansas have to beat up on each other. But I still like Villanova to be there. And the funny thing is, as much as people's brackets are broken, and we all just talked about how the left side of our brackets are all red, you look at the teams that are in there. Michigan, everybody loved. Everyone said the winner of Michigan and UNC gets in there. People had Villanova, like myself. And then Kansas versus Duke was 1-2. Outside of that top left region, when it's all said and done, things have kind of gone to plan.
You know, it's crazy. In the Fantasy Factor one that we were promoting, I actually have Kansas versus Michigan in the final. And I want to stand corrected. Tim Tebow only has one hit in spring training. He's 1-for-18, .056.
Did it reach the grass?
It's
a tripler.
You're talking about past the little dirt by your feet, like between the pitcher and the batter's box? Did it get past that dirt?
Yeah, I was hoping the outfield.
The cutout?
Yeah, I don't know if Tim Tebow ran out a dribbler down the third base line. I don't see it. But to your point, Greg, I have Nova to winning it all, and I'm going to stick with it. I think that they're the best team in the tournament. They just have offense left, right, and center. But it's been real nice to see certainly the run Loyola has made, and I think that they're going to have an opportunity here. But to play Nova or to play Kansas, it's going to be tough for them. I understand they made a nice run, but it's going to be really challenging for me, one of those two teams.
So from a percent standpoint, these odds here, when I do my mic math quickly, it looks like, and tell me if you guys feel this is appropriate, there's a 52% chance of Villanova winning, a 24% chance of Michigan winning, 20 for Kansas, and about 3.5% for Loyola. Do those numbers jive? Does that sound right to you guys?
So the one number that stands out to me is the 20% for Kansas. Right? You're giving Villanova an over 50% chance to win.
Yeah.
And they have to face a much better team than either Michigan or Loyola do in each other. I mean, Kansas is really, really good. So to say that there's over 50% chance of them winning it all when they still have to get by Kansas, I don't know. I don't love that one, Mikey.
Well, who would you – you think Villanova's going to win, but would you – they're even money. Out of these odds, even money, Michigan 5-2, Kansas 3-1, Loyola 12-1. If you were entering the frame now and you were going to go place a wager, who would you wager on at this point, given those odds?
I think I'd have to wager on Michigan, just because I think they have the best chance of getting there. If you're there, who knows what could happen.
Yeah, it's a good call because they got the easiest matchup, right, of the two games. They don't have to play Nova or Kansas unless they play them in the finals. So, yeah, I would put my money on Michigan too. But, this is what I try to tell Gabe all the time when I'm making bets. It's not all about the odds and picking Nova. When we had this argument about Buffalo and Jacksonville, well, Buffalo's got these great odds. Cool. You can have great odds all they want. You got to win the game. I'm taking Nova to win it all.
Yeah, but in Gabe's thing, if you bet 32 games a day and you're getting even money on one, you know, it's not going to set you apart. So if he hits one Buffalo game out of the 32 he picked, you know, he has to only hit three of those to win, where he's going to have to hit 32 Villanovas to be profitable. So that's Gabe's thinking. I don't know if that's the regular man's thinking.
Bavona, I hear you cha-chinging over there. Do you counting your money already? What's going on there?
I'm trying to question what's going to be what's more possible to happen: Loyola Chicago winning the national tournament, or Donald Trump getting in touch with Stormy Daniels for another tryst.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll get to Stormy in a little bit here. What's going on with the Atlanta Falcons trying to woo Sister Jean? I mean, they feel they're jinxed. I guess after the Cubs, I don't know who's really more jinxed than
the Indians.
I guess years wise, but they're on Twitter. They're making a move to get Sister Jean down there.
Gotta get some good fortune.
I guess. I don't know. Where did Loyola come from? I know they've been in the tournament before. I saw a stat that says they actually have the best winning percentage of all time in the tournament at 13-4. Slightly ahead of Duke and, I believe, North Carolina in terms of winning percentages. Now, that's a little disingenuous because the other teams have played like 150 games. They've only played 17. But I guess apparently at some point they've actually won the tournament.
I don't think they've
ever won. They won the national championship back in 1963 before it was like the NCAA tournament that we know now. In the classic tournament, which really started in 85, they only got there in 85 as a 4 seed, and this year as an 11 seed. That's it. So it's definitely just disingenuous, like you said. But I think it brings up the point when you talk about Loyola Chicago. Obviously, they went on this run. They're like, what, 35-4 this year or something along those lines. And if they didn't win the Missouri Valley tournament, they wouldn't be in here despite their awesome record. Do you guys, you don't mind me throwing it out, Mike, but I want to know, like, Does it make more sense for a team like this who had an unreal season in a small conference, if they would have gotten upset in the final, would it make more sense to invite them rather than, you know, the sixth, eighth-seeded ACC team, which probably was Syracuse, but whatever? Like, does that make more sense, Tony?
No, but I want more inclusion. I've actually been, since this tournament, I want all the teams to be in. I want the conference tournaments eliminated because you play 30 games, and you shouldn't have a conference champion going and after 4 days or 5 days and put them in. Or I want every team with a 500 record to be put in the tournament and let them go this way. I was looking back, 1963, there was 25 teams in that tournament. I think we have such good basketball now, we could figure out a way to get buys for the top 64, the top 32 or something like that, and include more teams in this tournament and let everybody participate in the spectacle. Everybody thought it was the worst thing when we went from 64 to 68. Everybody thought it was the worst thing when we went from 32 to 64. Throw everybody in.
Let's put them all in. A couple hundred teams in there. Now, you know what? As much as we love to say things like, oh, you know, that Duke-Kansas game was the best game of the tournament, great players on the floor, I love these little Cinderella stories. And Greg's right. I mean, this team went on a hell of a run. I think they won 14 games in a row now, dating back to the regular season and, you know, the run through the conference championship. And they're the first team to win three consecutive NCAA tournament games off last-second game-winning jumpers. They've done that in every single game. Every game that they've played has been entertaining. And this one against Michigan is going to be another entertaining game. So it's fun to have these teams in. I'm with you, Greggy. Let's put in some of these teams that we don't expect to win, and let's watch it. The Cinderella runs.
If you do that, though, guys like Trae Young don't get in the tournament, and
we shoot from half anyways.
All right, when we come back, we got a lot to cover. We're going to talk some NBA. We're going to talk some MLB, some NFL, the MLB. We'll find out if any of us got hit by a line drive. We'll be back after this.
Steiner Sports is the leading memorabilia provider for the New York Yankees, Rangers, Giants, Knicks, and the Brooklyn Nets. Featuring hundreds of items from your favorite athletes, Steiner Sports is your source for the best sports gifts. Go to steinersports.com/box and shop our collection of memorabilia boxes, which include 10 gifts for the price of one. We've made one for each of your favorite teams. Hurry, supplies are limited, and these are some of the best deals we have ever offered. So go to steinersports.com/box today.
All right, and we are back. Good morning, everyone. And, you know, guys, before I get into the big news of the day, there's some NBA news, and there's a lot of baseball news with the season just around the corner, a lot of NFL news. I want to talk about two elephants dueling in the room. You know, well, the first one before we get to the NBA injuries is that who watched this Stormy Daniels interview last night? And does anybody think any differently about either the president or this Stephanie Clifford character after watching it?
No,
I think we have
to throw
some meanie. We have to throw some meanie for sure.
I was actually watching, Greg. So I had recorded the Kansas and Duke game. I was out, so I watched that, and I always record like a couple hours later in case it goes to overtime, which it did, and then the interview rolled in right after. I don't feel any differently. I mean, it's...
Did we learn anything? Did we learn anything? Because I watched it, and I was trying to figure out, well, what was the point of this? What did we learn, really?
I didn't learn a thing. I didn't learn anything. They slept together years ago, which is a little weird. She was in her mid-20s. He was 60s. You know, Cooper was like, you know, kind of basically, were you turned on by that? She's like, no, just did it because she thought she was going to get a job. But at the end of the day, I didn't learn anything from this. They paid her off, and she had her life threatened. Of course, if that was the case, you know, you never want to hear that. But I walked away from that not learning anything about anything more, but I already knew about the president or her, which I didn't know much.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. So there's kind of two takes on it. So I'm with you, Mike and Chris. Like, I learned nothing. Like, I read the article she came out in 2011 that everything she said last night was in that article. So I learned not a thing. Everything about the affair, I knew. And I, you know, I'm not exactly Mr. Trump or Mr. Trump's favorite fan by any mean. But like, this is kind of like every other celebrity, in my opinion, you know, sleeping with a woman and paying hush money and moving on. Like, it happens to every celebrity or athlete that we know and we like. This happens all the time. I don't think there's much of a story here. But I watched it with my girlfriend, and she was really taken aback. Like, why didn't this woman – she didn't understand why this woman didn't speak out earlier. Yes, it was threatened. But all of a sudden, now she's coming forward. And not that it's a Me Too thing by any means, as Stormy Daniels said, but, like, why didn't she come out when Comey comes out with his letter about emails? Why doesn't she come out then? That's what she kept saying. Like, she goes, I don't need to hear from this woman now. I don't care anymore, basically.
To me, they had the wrong woman. I want to hear more from Karen McDougal, who basically had sex with him and then was handed money that she didn't ask for and was taken back by it. I want to hear more about that story.
I think that'd
be You're absolutely right. Because that's a relationship rather than a transaction.
Yeah, I mean, this is it is what it is, and people are going to think whatever they're going to think. I guess it was interesting to find out some of the details, but it just there was nothing really new. What I really don't understand is why do they call men or women who have sex on video porn stars? Are they all stars, or some just actresses or nymphomaniacs? Why are they all stars?
I think it takes a certain person to become an adult film actor. So when they actually do it, they should be considered stars. I mean, I don't know. Would anyone here really do it?
Do you really have to have chutzpah to do that? You just have to have no morals to you know, whatever your mom's going to think.
I don't know about that. All I know is that I think the way that we can sway Trump and fixing some of his policies is just by spanking him, apparently. Apparently, he gets taken back by that.
Yeah, right. That was a disturbing scene of it last night.
Her face was a little too happy about that.
Just think about where we're going.
You're right. She was loving that spank. She's like, yeah, you know, she turned around and I just gave him a couple spanks.
On national TV, we're actually talking about spanking the president. I mean, this is where we're at here. Tony, how many minutes of porn a week do you watch, Tony?
I don't watch much porn. I've been having a lot of sex lately.
Greg, how many minutes a week?
Unlike the married guys listening.
probably 10, maybe. 10.
Chris?
Yeah, I'll top them there. A good, you know, dozen, 12 to 15.
Let me ask you, is there a problem with... It seems like masturbating. People pretend they don't do it. Is there a problem? Like, people always watch porn. But, like, isn't that better than cheating on somebody?
That's what I always said.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what we talked about last week, Mike, with the whole Royals incident. Like, what would you rather have? Your young players going out to the club and who knows what they're doing, who they're picking up and, you know, who they're sleeping with, or at home getting some shut-eye after, you know, that 10-minute session. What's the deal here?
I have a hard time. If I don't have sex for a couple days, I have a hard time going to sleep at night. So the only way to get sleep sometime is through Lisa Ann, and she's better than Melanton.
All righty, there you have it. Well, that was a little too much information. All right, let's move on to the NBA. Chris, let's go with you first. What is the bigger deal here, Kyrie Irving's injury or Steph Curry's injury?
I think Steph Curry's injury, because you're seeing the Warriors now. Everything is kind of just, over the past couple of years, went perfectly just their way, obviously. You get the record. Kevin Durant wants to join the team. Now Durant, Draymond Green, Curry, and Clay, all of these guys are banged up. And for Kerr to come out and say that there's basically no chance that Curry is going to play in the first round, it's not going to be a breeze. Like, yeah, they have a really good team, but for all of these guys who are not 100% right now, and they're not going to be able to play with Curry potentially in the first round, and who knows how healthy this guy's going to be in the second round. You know, the Celtics, I think they have enough pieces around them to get by one round, and it looks like, you know, Kyrie is going to be fine after the procedure, but this is a bigger news. I don't think that they can win without a healthy Curry. Like, I'm talking second, third round. Like, it's going to get a little bit more competitive the deeper that they go, and they need it. They need Curry to get it done, in my opinion.
Tony, what are your thoughts?
I'll take the sorry. Oh,
go ahead, Greg. No, you're in. Go.
I'll just take the other side. I think there's really potential downfalls actually in both situations. I think the matchups, meaning, are actually bad. If the Jazz wind up in that seven spot, they've given the Warriors problems every time they play. And if they don't have Curry, that's a disaster. So in that result, you're right, especially in the first round. But with the Celtics, it may get worse because the Wizards are free-falling a little bit here. They lost three in a row, and John Wall's not back yet. But John Wall may be back for the playoffs. And if you have John Wall healthy and Bradley Beal healthy against a non-Kyrie Irving Boston Celtics team, that is not a situation you want the Celtics to face in that first round. So I may say the Kyrie injury is even worse. So, Tony?
I disagree with you, Greg, a little, because I can actually make the case that the Celtics have been better with Terry Rozier at the point guard, and he's a capable backup that's come in, and they haven't missed a beat. Now, you mentioned the Washington Wizards. There's so many teams in that 7-8 spot right now. Like, I didn't want them to play Philadelphia. Philadelphia's got a little run, and thank God they've moved up. They were there. If they had to play Milwaukee now, Milwaukee could beat them with or without Kyrie Irving. I think the story is that the Celtics have a capable backup point guard in Rozier. They have capable pieces. But the drop-off in Golden State from Stephen Curry to whoever comes in and plays, whether it be Quinn Cook or Livingston, is huge. So I think it's the Warriors. And I think we're all taking for granted they're going to be back after the first series. They have setbacks all the time. This Kyrie Irving injury is a year old. This is the second Kyrie. So I think you have to look at it as a whole playoff situation and see what happens.
What did you say? His injury is a year old?
Yeah, he. This is how he got out of Cleveland. He threatened Cleveland that he was going to have the surgery if they didn't trade him.
Yeah, I mean, he had a significant knee injury, you know, the first time that Golden State and Cleveland played in the finals. And, you know, I think he left game one, and the knee has really never been the same, as Tony just alluded to. Tony, how about we were talking last week in, you know, semifinal basketball matchups. I'm benching Clay and Curry and playing Quinn Cook in my lineup and hoping that he, you know, he brings me some G League magic that he brought me earlier in the year. I mean, this time of the year in the NBA for fantasy, let's be honest, it's a crapshoot. You're rolling out anybody that will just give you 20 to 30 minutes, and Terry Rozier is going to be on a lot of fantasy basketball championships. He's balling out.
Is it me, or is Steph Curry just soft? I mean, he's got a spring.
He's soft. He's a little soft.
He's sprained
his ankle issues from day one almost in the NBA. He's had ankle issues, and now the knee, it's always seems to be something with him, unfortunately.
So are they still the odds-on favorites to come out of the West there and represent in the finals?
I don't think so. I think
who's the Rockets?
The Rockets are the best team in basketball. They 16-14, won 9 in a row. They don't even need Chris Paul at the moment. It's insane just how good they are. And it's incredible that Mike D'Antoni's been able to get out of New York and L.A. where he failed miserably twice and just Daryl Morey hit this one right, pairing Harden with D'Antoni, bringing in Chris Paul. This team is the first team in NBA history to take more threes than twos this year. They figured it out. And right now, they look like the odds-on favorite, Mike.
Tony, is this an opportunity to now take Golden State at a discount where you wouldn't have been able to otherwise, or no? Or is that fool's gold?
You could get him a little discount, but I don't think you can turn it on and turn it off with the injury situations. Like, it's not just one guy. You have Draymond Green that's been banged up all year. Kevin Durant's banged up all year. Curry's banged up. Klay Thompson's been banged up. He hasn't been part of the offense like he was last year when he was healthy. I think there's a lot of problems there in Golden State. I think they just run its course that I don't think you can get a discount enough to reflect their play. And there's more competition, which there hasn't been there. I mean, we look at Houston. They're the favorite. Portland's playing unbelievable, but we discount them. And I don't know if we're doing the right thing with Portland.
Yeah, and Greg brought up a good point when he brought up the Jazz. I mean, a couple of years ago when the Warriors were on their run and they played the Jazz in the first round, yeah, they beat them, but that was a really competitive series. The Jazz are a really good defensive team. You bring in Rudy Gobert, all of a sudden, you know, he's a great rim protector. Ricky Rubio is playing good. You know, Mitchell is a phenomenal rookie. So, you know, that's not going to be easy for the Warriors, even without Curry, to play the Jazz. I'm looking for odds right now, Mike. I can't find any. So I think they've just taken them off. Like, the future odds on the West is just non-existent on a site that I'm on right now. So I think
I'm looking. I have I don't know if they're – I think this is after the injury. I see for the West, it's still Golden State. They're 5-9. Houston 7-5. Is anybody think Toronto is going to overtake Cleveland and come out of the east side?
Besides Drake?
Drake may not even think that. Well, no. I mean, he's been known to be chilling with LeBron after a tough Raptors loss. I think that they're going to give him a go, Mike. We saw the game just the other day. This is a more complete Raptors team that we've seen over the past couple seasons. But at the end of the day, it's the same thing that we've been saying for years. LeBron James, beat him. I mean, he's been in the finals 8 years, 7 years in a row. Good luck.
Toronto's poorly coached. I think that's a huge problem. And you know why it's going to show up in the playoffs? They have more talent than they ever have. Like, this is a very complete team. They can go 1-10, and there's no playing pattern from one night to the next. And I think it's going to hurt them in the postseason.
So I became a 76ers fan. I don't watch all that much basketball except when Tony gives me an NBA lineup to put in. So I became a The Process fan earlier on when I went up money. And then he cemented it the other night when he hit a three and did a Steph Curry and started running back down the court the other way while the ball was in the air. So that's it. I'm at 50-1. That's what I'm going with. Is that a waste of my money, or is there any chance? Does he play every game, or does he have to sit out during the playoffs? What do you think, Greg?
I think we've seen it mostly the second half of the year. He's playing every day. You know, he's not really sitting out all that much. He's playing back-to-back. He's been pretty dominant all year long. I think the process is fine and ready to rock for the playoffs. And I think they have a good potential first-round matchup with the Pacers. I think it's a matchup they could win. And then you get into the next round if they can. And that should be really fun.
No, 50-1, I think that's a great bet. Well, you look at him and Simmons, and it's hard for a young team to go in, and what would they do against LeBron James and everything like that. But, I mean, Dario Saric is a quality player. I think they have a great backup point guard in McConnell. Like, it wouldn't shock me if they won the Eastern Conference. I wouldn't be shocked.
No, I wouldn't be shocked either.
Golden State 5-7, Houston 17-10. I don't know, I have to do my mic math and figure out what that is. Cleveland 12-1, Toronto 12-1. The next grouping, tell me who you'd be most likely to plunk some money down on. Celtics 18-1, Oklahoma and the 76ers 50-1, San Antonio 60-1, Washington 70-1. Everybody else is a moonshot after there. Is there anybody worth taking a flyer, taking $5 and throwing it in?
I think what Tony just mentioned, 76ers, you brought them up earlier. I mean, I think that would be the team I'd take the flyer on. You know, we're talking about Embiid and Simmons. You know, Tony mentioned Saric. Robert Covington is a guy who touches a lot of categories, good defensively. They got some guys coming off the bench who are going to be fine. Bellinelli's okay. Redick can hit a shot. So, I mean, I think that they can give anybody in the East and a real good, solid go, because Embiid and Simmons, we're just seeing the little bit of talent, the potential that they have, and it's through the roof.
If we're talking about $5, isn't it worth $5 to see if Kawhi Leonard comes back? $5 at 60-1. Isn't that worth it just to see if Kawhi comes back?
Well, Greg, what do you think would happen if it announced that he's back and he's healthy and everything's a go? What happens to those odds?
Well, they obviously drop.
Well, where do you think they would go from 60-1? Where would they appropriately go?
They wouldn't go all of a sudden to like 30-1, but I think they go probably 50-1, maybe a little bit more than that. Like Kawhi, let's not forget, he's the former Defensive Player of the Year. He's a top 5 to 10 NBA player. Now, does this Spurs team have it? I don't know about that. There's a lot of weird stuff going on in San Antonio with Pop and with Kawhi, and I don't know what the crux of that is. I think that's the biggest story in the NBA this season, what the hell is going on down there in San Antonio other than the Final Four. But it would change a lot in the Western Conference, because when you have Kawhi Leonard with the rest of the Spurs, I mean, it's a team I think that could beat anybody.
And Tony, what the hell is going on? I mean, I read this over the weekend. Tony Parker says that his quad injury was 100 times worse than Kawhi. There's reports that surfaced last week about how the Spurs had a team meeting and they all were just begging Kawhi to play. Yeah. Kawhi, we need you. Come play. And then Danny Green goes on Twitter and says that couldn't have been any more wrong, from the farthest thing from the truth ever. What's going on with Kawhi? Like, why hasn't this guy played? It's like he doesn't want to because of Spurs team management and the injury staff. It's like he's holding a grudge against them. I don't understand this at all.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or he's trying to get out of San Antonio, like one of these LeBron James things where he wants to go to a bigger market, and he's, you know, he sees himself maybe as the best player in the NBA, and yet he watches all these other people with shoe deals and all these other commercials, and he wants to get out of San Antonio, and he's doing this to get out.
I think the writing's on the wall. He's gone for sure.
All right, we come back in a little bit. We're going to get to some baseball and some football. Hey, Bavona, this one's for you here. I was just reading this morning when I got up. China has a space station. I didn't know there were a bunch of space stations up there.
Yeah,
apparently it's going to fall to Earth. Yeah, and reading the article on the very end of this, it says there is reportedly a slight chance that the falling debris will hit somebody. Like, how is this not a big deal? How is this not all over the place?
Honestly, I think because it's in London, it's going to happen. They said it's going to happen in Europe, so I guess nobody really cares if they get hit in Europe. I don't know. I don't know. It's basically going to be right. It's an asteroid hitting the Earth. A man-made asteroid.
Oh, God. Duck. Everybody duck. All right, we come back. We're going to get to some NFL news, some MLB news. We'll get through everybody's drafts. I'm sick of drafting, and thankfully it's over. We'll be back in a bit.
Muscle Maker Grill is made for baseball season. Muscle Maker Grill supplies you with delicious, healthy meals that will give you energy to cheer on your team week after week. Whether you're craving flavorful salad, packed wraps, or guiltless entrees, Muscle Maker Grill has you covered. Hosting a game? No problem. Our catering packages will have your whole team satisfied with flavors ranging from Italian to Tex-Mex and much, much more. Visit MuscleMakerGrill.com for your nearest location and have a winning season.
All right, we got a special programming announcement. We've got a slight change to our programming format this week as we make way on the network for the debut of Carton and Friends with Craig Carton. So you're going to get a replay or two of this show on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays. We pimp the studio and work on some things. Carton and Friends is going to start this Thursday. Major League Baseball opening day is Thursday. It's going to air from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And not only that, you're going to be able to watch it on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch TV, Periscope, Mixer, Facebook, and wherever else you watch video. I don't know. If you watch it somewhere where we're not putting it, just let us know. Hit up Chris on Twitter at FNTSY Radio, and we'll see if we can get it there. And, guys, we have two guests booked already for the first show. Former Governor Chris Christie and 19-year Major League veteran pitcher Al Leiter will be joining them. So I'm sure we'll all get a chance to enjoy that. It should be pretty neat.
I'm an Al Leiter fan. Greg, how are you? How do you stand on Al Leiter? I mean, as a broadcaster.
I love Al Leiter, actually, as a broadcaster. Yeah. He's one of my favorites. I think he does a fantastic job on the Yankee broadcast and on MLB Network. I think he's great.
MLB Network is amazing. It's amazing. I think that's part of the downfall to what ESPN's had the problems with is the MLB, the NFL Network. Everybody's into specialization, and I think people go more and more people go to the networks that they want. Like, they're only baseball fans, and they're only football fans. And I think we're losing sight of the people that are all sports fans.
So I actually totally agree with that, Tony. Like, yes, you definitely get point to digital, and there is something to be said that, like, I don't need to watch sports that are for highlights anymore. You go to Twitter, you'll see the highlights 20 seconds after it happens, right? Like, so that's true. But for me as a baseball fan, if I want to just see, you know, a live look into the games, what's going on, I'm going to MLB Network. And I think the same could be said for the NFL with the scouting combine. You're going to the NFL Network. And maybe not so much. The NHL Network does a wonderful job as well. The NBA Network's okay. But you know, I did find myself ever since MLB Network started a few years ago choosing them over Baseball Tonight. And I think it's not that large of an audience, but it's enough of an audience that it mattered to ESPN, who went away from Baseball Tonight and went away from everything, that really they focus on their NBA product, which is fine because the NBA Network's not so great. But everything else, that little audience, you're 100% right, that watches those niche networks matter to ESPN. Losing that audience mattered to ESPN.
Greg, you know, it's like that way in virtually all programming. I was speaking to somebody over at Fox, and I was asking them, I'm like, how is it that if there's a news story and I watch your network, for instance, for politics, if you watch their network, it's portrayed one way, and if you watch, let's say, MSNBC or CNN, it's like you're watching two different stories. Regardless of if you're Republican or Democrat, it's just different. And you know what I was told? That, you know, in the old days, when Walter Cronkite was on the news every day, you know, everybody, it was just news, and you just reported the news. But what happens now is if you pick a side to cater to, so basically what the programmer at Fox told me was, listen, I know I'm going to get all the right-wing Republicans to watch us. If we all did the same thing, then what edge do we have? Why would anybody come here? And conversely, if you have MSNBC, they're all to the left, and they know what audience they're going to get. So by these, you know, these leagues specializing in the programming, they're commanding that audience, and maybe it's a defined audience, right? They're not going to get people who want to watch other things as well, but people know exactly where to go, where to find them, and what can they watch, and they guarantee themselves an audience. So, you know, it's smart programming.
Oh, absolutely. I completely get it. You can agree with it. You can disagree with it. But Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, they are in the ratings business. That is what this is. They no longer care about being just apolitical news organizations. They want their audiences, and they have figured out that this is the best way to gain traction and gain the biggest audience. Someone like me is going to choose to watch the coverage that, you know, from the side that you mostly agree with. And I think there's a lot of people that are like me out there. And I don't think that's so different even than fantasy sports, in that I'm going to read a writer as much as I want to read every side. I'm going to read a writer that kind of views certain players like I view certain players. And, oh, I really like so-and-so's writing because they agree with me. I've said this for years, that people look for information that backs up their initial thoughts. And the same thing can be said for political news coverage. You like a certain network because it backs up your beliefs. It doesn't challenge you anymore. And I think there's a lot to be said for that.
You know what's crazy about what you just said? It's even in sports, though. Mike, when we grew up, guys that did the local television broadcast, like the guys that were the broadcasters for the Mets or the Red Sox, they weren't homers. And now every team has homers broadcasting the games. Like, you get fired if you say something poor against the home team. Before, you used to be a partial broadcaster, and now that's out the window, and there's no partiality in broadcasting.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to find an announcer that is not just fully towards their team. Three nothing for the good guys. You know, you hear that, you know, a lot from more and more so now. But I'm with you guys with the MLB Network. I love the way that they, you know, the diamond surfing. It's great. I mean, they jump around like no other network from game to game and give you inside analysis all over the place. It's top notch.
So, Chris, yesterday was the 17-year anniversary of Randy Johnson vaporizing a bird. Now, were they playing that all over the place in Toronto yesterday?
No, but, man, what a flashback.
What were the odds on that happening?
You'll ever see that again. Yeah, I don't think you'll ever see that again, Tony. Like, that's just not going to happen again.
Tony,
if you look at the video, if you guys Google it and look it up again, I don't understand why the runner that was on second, leading off of second base, didn't take third.
Because
the ball went to the backstop, I guess.
He's just shocked, couldn't move. I couldn't believe what he just saw.
You know, maybe they called it a foul ball. How about that?
Oh, boy.
No, but really, if you look at the video, everybody's just standing around. He didn't run. The ball went to the backstop. So I think they're
just clueless. What just happened? Nobody, like, just as Tony said, just shocked. Like, I mean, he just
now he. I don't know. He didn't catch a lot of crap from that, from what I can recall. But I do recall Dave Winfield getting threatened with charges being pressed against him. I don't know if they were actually ever pressed. Now, was that a batted ball that he hit a bird with, or a thrown ball? Winfield, anybody recall that?
Ball. Yeah, it was a thrown ball. It was between innings. And most people believe it was intentional.
What the hell's going on with the pigeons up there? And these aren't Blue Jays, by the way.
Yeah, Blue Jays.
I mean, are they just trying to eradicate pigeons from the Blue Jay territory? What's going on over there?
I don't even know what you're talking about. To be honest, with the birds and the Blue Jays, you have to fill me in.
Well, they're birds. They're both in Toronto. Both incidents were in Toronto where they hit the birds with the ball.
I mean, I think I'd like to just say it's a coincidence. I mean, we have
speaking of bird, I've got Greg Bird frustration all over me. I walked out of my home league draft on Saturday, all happy that I got Greg Bird, and then I'm here in it's. Deja vu all over again. What's going on with this guy, Greg?
He is reminding a lot of people of former Yankee first baseman Nick Johnson, who just could not stay healthy. And he's had a myriad of ankle and foot issues now, and there's nothing exactly that happened to his foot. It's just inflamed. And Brian Cashman, in interviews all over the place yesterday, expressed legitimate concern. Now, the MRI came back clean, just showed inflammation. He's going to a specialist in New York today.
I think that may be worse because maybe that just means it's a chronic thing and it's going to have to be dealing.
Oh, yeah.
If an MRI shows you broke your foot or something like that, then it could just repair.
Oh, I totally agree, Mike. Like I said, that this is like Nick Johnson. It is chronic. It is not good.
It's funny. I saw a tweet from a Yankees reporter. Just, and he published a video in the offseason of Greg Bird dancing around. And what's this guy doing dancing around when his foot is made of glass? Like, you know you could hurt your foot just dancing and not, like, not even playing the sport. Yeah.
All right, before we get to the fantasy aspects and some of the real life of what's going on over the field, I wake up this morning to see that Albert Bell was arrested in Scottsdale during a spring training game. Anybody want to guess what for?
Public urination.
That's a good
close.
That's a good guess.
Two counts of indecent exposure. Not one, two. Two counts of indecent exposure. One count of DUI. One count of extreme DUI. So what do you mean two counts of indecent exposure at a game? What could he possibly do? Would he moon somebody?
This is a great one. So are you sure this was at the game or leaving? It was at the game he exposed himself.
During a spring training game, it says. Now, does anybody think he's a Hall of Famer, by the way? I do. He had 1,200 RBI in a nine-season span. You're in, no? And he's certainly in after this. This gets him in.
This gets him in. If there was anything to put him over the edge, this would be it. I'm curious. Like, Mike, what did he do? Just take off the pants and just streak around and try to run the bases?
Well, whatever it was he was drinking. So one kind of extreme DUI is a blood alcohol content level of 0.08 or more. So he had that. One kind of DUI, I guess, so he was driving away using drugs or alcohol or vapor. And then two counts of indecent exposure. I don't know.
Albert's not looking.
No, he's not.
I'm just looking at these pictures.
He's gained a little weight.
I've met Albert one time in a hotel, and he was as personable as you'd think he would be. And he doesn't look too good anymore.
Greg, do you remember Albert Bell playing or no?
Barely.
Barely. Tony, do you think he was?
Our bell is long.
I think he has some Hall of Fame. I think he has some numbers, Mike. You know, to back up some.
He doesn't. He doesn't. Like, here's the thing: is that he was in my.
Well, Tony, who has 1,200 RBI in 9 years?
Well, that's the problem.
That's astronomical.
That's the problem is the 9 years. There's certain things in baseball. Like, you had to hit 400 home runs, like, at one time. Like, everyone, that would be a number everyone always talked about, and he's at 381. And yet he only did it in 9 years, so he should be there. But baseball looks at it longevity-wise as well as there. I look at it like this. You have to be one of the top three players at your position in your prime is the way I look at it, to even have consideration. And he was. I just don't think that they're ever going to vote for him because he was an a-hole off the field and didn't talk to reporters, so he's not going to get any break from them, and he didn't have any longevity.
And let's be honest, this
so he
help.
Was. No, I guess not. But I kind of like it. But you know, listen, he was involved in a few scandals during his career. He was fined in 1996 after leveling Fernando Vina. Remember that? He just bowled him over on the base path. In 1994, he got caught using a corked bat. But who didn't? Everybody was corking their bats, weren't they? And then, of course, he didn't like the media and that was going on. Does anybody remember his? Well, Greg's probably out. He doesn't remember playing, but. What his name, what he went by when he first came up early in his career. He didn't go by Albert.
It was Joey Bell.
Joey?
Yeah.
Yeah. That always reminded me of the Saved by Bell, Joey.
Yeah.
No?
Didn't he? I think he also, in between innings one time.
That's Friends.
A fan wanted. Cardano. Yeah. A fan
There's
wanted.
No Joey.
Well, who was that? Wait, hold on. Who was Saved by the Bell? Who was that?
That was Zach Morris.
That's Zach
and
Slater.
Lopez.
Oh, Joey, Zach, same thing. You guys nitpick all the time.
Close enough.
These teenagers were hassling for a ball or something between innings one time, and he fired the ball as hard as he could in stands at them to give him the ball. And he got in a little trouble for that.
Hey, you want a ball? Here it is.
Yeah, that's what he did. I mean, he was crazy.
Bring a glove.
You know? Yeah, quit nagging me for a ball, kid. Catch my fastball.
He had a Halloween incident at his house where he got in his car and tried to run them down.
No wonder why he's not in the Hall of Fame. He was just shy of 400 home runs. I mean, come on.
So nobody. You guys don't think he's. If you take out the fights with the media, nobody else would vote for him.
I think he's in.
Yeah, I'd give him a vote. No? I'd give him a vote. I mean, I understand the 9 years and getting to 400, but I mean, he's a career 295 hitter. He was patient at the plate, took his walks, slugging percentage off. But all the numbers are pretty decent. 50 home runs once. Yeah, you're right. Everyone was corking the bats in the mid-90s. They were juicing up. So, I mean, we can't fault him if we're not faulting other guys. 152 RBIs 1 year, 148 another year, sold some bases. He's got some pretty good numbers.
He was dominating.
So rosters are set here. I think everybody's major league rosters are set. Greg, what do you make of this Scott Kingery contract? I don't know anybody who has Scott Kingery on their team.
Oh, I do. Scott Kingery's a top prospect. I know a lot of people have Scott Kingery on their fantasy teams. So I don't agree with that. But it's really interesting. And I think if you read both sides about it, you understand it, right? Like, so the Phillies lock him up for long term, and they basically said, "Listen, you sign this deal, you'll be there opening day." So he's like, "All right, he did it."
Where's he gonna play?
Wait a minute. He says he's gonna play like all over the field, every position other than pitcher and catcher.
Who is he? Bugs Bunny?
I don't know. I mean, basically, they want him on the field. He's good enough. He's one of their top 25 players. They signed him this deal. They get him on the opening day roster because they control him forever now. And people are crushing Scott Kingery and his agents for doing that. But the other side is the only other person to sign a contract before playing a major league game like this is John Singleton, who is bathing in his money because he'll never play in the majors ever again.
You know,
I kind of get both sides.
Yeah, but that was a lot of off-the-field stuff with him, right?
Singleton, he's also not very good,
he got into drugs and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Well, he only has like 60 at-bats or something like that.
Singleton got crushed by the Players Association, as should Kingery, at the end, because the $24 million in that 6 year, you know, when he gets to that 6 year, in that one season, if this kid's as good as he thinks, as people think he is, he's in somewhere in probably the $8 to $10 million range, just that sixth year of his arbitration. So this,
but Tony, how can you kill somebody for taking $20 million guaranteed when you've never played a game before? How does he know he's not going to flop when he gets there?
It's true. It could be anything. Anything. You're right. I mean, he could blow his knee out, never be the same. It could be anything. So I mean,
it's guaranteed money. The guy has to do a thing.
Who's turning down? Nobody here is turning down $20+ million. I know we're not obviously highly touted prospects, but I mean, it's something to think about. You get that money. You take that guaranteed money, and I don't think a lot of people have him in redraft leagues, to your point, Mike, when you brought it up, but he's in a lot of leagues that I'm in, as you know, Greggy brought up as well, and I think he's somebody we're going to be talking about midseason as someone who is looking real good.
All right, listen, here's the...
Man, none of you guys smoke.
Here's the part of the program, Tony. Tony, we got to let Greggy go. Greggy's got to do some NBA content. So each day at this hour, we're going to let Greggy go. So rest in peace, Greg. And I think RIP condolences are in order all the way around, because next up, the King, Scott Engel, joins us for hour two as rigor mortis sets in and all. But he's a trooper. And we'll be back with Scotty after this.